nations, to particular people, cultures, and societies, speeches covering war, poverty, inequality. We're hearing a lot of that today, aren't we? People telling us how we need to show everybody that we love them. We hear speeches on the economy, human rights. Has anybody heard anything about global warming? They give speeches on all of these, and on we could go on the list. Presidents give these speeches, kings, heads of state, United Nations leaders, people of importance around the world stand and give these speeches. We turn the TV on for State of the Union, watch speeches on what's going on in America and in our culture and in our government. All of them are offering some kind of a solution to fill the needs of mankind. And there's plenty out there, aren't there? Plenty of needs. And so these great orators stand and try to tell us what we need to do to help in our situations of life. These messages are weighed by Senate leaders and representatives and committees and the powers that be, trying to find a help and a way to help the world to be a better place. I wonder if Jesus were to come down and he were to go to NBC or ABC or CBS, Fox News, and say, "I have a message for the world. I have a message for the needs of the world." Would they give him a spot? Would he be able to command a worldview? You know, tonight there are going to be absolutely millions, I don't know, maybe even billions of people that are going to be watching just to see who's walking on a red carpet with what on, or what they don't have on. That's big stuff. Would Jesus get that kind of attention? If he came to deliver a message, what message would he have? Would he give a speech on inequality? Would he give a speech on the economy, human rights, global warming? What would be the message? Well, I'm here to tell you that he's been in the process of delivering his message to the world for the last 2,000 years. And this morning, we want to take a look at that message. I'm telling you in starting out that it is the most important message that has ever been delivered to the world. No one has ever given a speech of more importance than the message that Christ has delivered. Jesus said, "And this gospel, this good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to almost all the nations." All nations, China, Japan, North Korea. Amen. None will be left out. This message, hallelujah, whether CBS puts it on or ABC or Fox News or whoever, this message of this orator, of this speaker, will be delivered to all nations. And when it has reached the last nation, he says, then shall the end come. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. This message, this most important message given by the greatest orator who has ever lived, when his message has been delivered to all nations, then those who have received his message, this is very simple, those who have believed the message of the good news from Jesus Christ will be saved. And those who do not believe it, regardless of what religion they belong to, they are condemned. Is that simple enough? What is the message? What is the gospel message to be preached? It's called the gospel. Good message, good news. Good news for a world lost in sin and immorality. How many have seen anybody sinning this past week? Oh yeah. We are rubbing shoulders with the world every day, aren't we? And we see the sin. You turn the TV on and now they show the sin openly. They show people engaged in it. And this is a good news for a world who is lost in sin and immorality. It's good news for a world seeking for hope. And it's a good news for a world that is heading toward death. Believe it or not, this nation in which we live, this world on which we exist, is headed toward eternal death. And that day is coming. But there's good news. There is hope through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Peter sums Christ's message of good news up in his sermon to the Gentiles. Listen to his message, the message of Christ, the good news. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed who? Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly." Somebody say praise the Lord. "Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is He who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To Him all the prophets witness that through His name, whoever believes in Him will receive what? Remission of sin. Are you glad you're free from sin?
Yes.
How many have been to the cross? You've accepted the message. You've experienced the flow of Jesus' blood and the washing away of sin. You've received that message of Christ. Notice, first of all, His message is without partiality. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. I've had some people in communities where I've preached already. They said, boy, he's too far gone. You'll never get him. Hallelujah. I just heard this morning, 30 some years ago, I stood at the door of a man on the mountain and watched him break up every piece of furniture in his house. I was standing there with the deputy sheriff, and he just broke it all up. And I said to the deputy, can't you stop him? He said, not as long as he doesn't touch her. He was mad at her, but he was breaking up all of his furniture. Well, I told him while I was dealing with him, I said, one of these days I'm going to get you. This morning I heard 34 years later, he's gone to church. Glory. Amen. You see, anybody can be saved. It doesn't matter. God could have saved Hitler if he would have repented. Amen. He could save any of those who have gone down the wrong path. Doesn't matter who they are, as long as they call on the name of the Lord. Listen to Paul and Timothy. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, I must admit, I've had some people down through my lifetime, they did this or that against me, and I said, Lord, get them. I want you to really pound them hard. Oh, Lord, they don't deserve to be saved. Hello? Hello? But oh, aren't we glad that God doesn't hear us in those times? Aren't we glad that all can come to Him? The message is without partiality. God is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality or discrimination whatsoever. He does not accept a person because of nationality or race or caste or social standing or class. He invites all to come to Him. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Also, His message has two requirements. He wants us to fear God. Number one. I've seen some people shake their fist at God. I had a man got saved many years ago on the Eastern Shore, and when he was a young fella, he had a prize bull on his farm. And he was ornery, and he was a non-believer, and he didn't like God. He didn't go to church, and he didn't like God, and he didn't like Christian people. And he told me one day he was coming in out of the field, and he said there was a storm coming up. And he said, if there's a God in heaven, strike my prize bull dead. And he said he no more got the words out of his mouth till a bolt of lightning came down from the heavens and struck his prize bull and killed it right on the spot. He said, that taught me never to challenge God again. There needs to be a fear in our hearts of God. Amen. How many remember when you were a child, You were afraid of getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar? Huh? Or you were told, don't you do that. And if you did, what'd you get? In trouble. My wife, her mother, made her go out to the maple tree and pick her own switch. And when she was finished, you knew she had switched her. There were little red marks. Hello? Hello? You see, I was a good boy. I always did everything Mama and Daddy wanted. I never got a licking. They just didn't catch me. Huh? But back in our day, we that are adults here this morning, if you did wrong, you feared your parents. I've heard a number of people say their mother told them, you just wait till your daddy gets home. And they got the razor strap down from up along the wall. You know, many of you don't know what a razor strap is. It's a long piece of leather about that wide and about that long. You took your razor that you shaved with, and that's how you sharpened it on the razor strap. Well, Daddy got the razor strap down, and boom. So you had a fear of doing wrong. Today, people don't have a fear of God. They blow smoke in His face. They say whatever words they want to say. And, you know, they do whatever they want to do. They blatantly put it out there in the world. Live the lifestyle they want to live. And just do it in the face of God. No fear. But God says one of the requirements in accepting the message of God, of Christ, is fear of God. Very simply, this means to live in the fear of the Lord, to live before Him in trust, reverence, awe, worship, and obedience. It means to live a life that witnesses to the glory of His love and grace and holiness and righteousness. You know, I'm always just a little bit leery of somebody that's bigger than me. I remember Andy. Andy's not here this morning. You know, before Andy got saved, he was a rough-looking dude. Great big 6-foot-something and always been big. And he wore that big long chain that hung down into his wallet. And he had a great big old motorcycle jacket on, beard. And he said he used to walk down the street. And as he walked down the street, he could hear people sitting in their cars, click, 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 locking their doors. I don't know about that guy coming. I had respect for those who are greater and bigger. You know, I go to the courtroom where the judge sits on the bench, and I've seen some of the toughest and roughest criminals sitting at the table waiting on the judge to give his opinion. And I've never once seen any of those rough, tough criminals, even gang members, ever stand up and say, who do you think you are? They stood up and said, yes, sir. No, sir. They paid attention. They had respect. God is the powerful figure of the entire universe. Jesus Christ has all power. It's not so much that I'm afraid of Him. I don't want His judgment, absolutely. But I respect His position. I respect His opinion. And I fear Him in the fear of the Lord. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The second requirement of this faith is working righteousness. That's what the apostle said here to Cornelius and his friends. That is to do and to be right. Do that which is right. That can only be imputed to us by God Himself. by Christ, the righteousness of Christ. It means that one must live according to the righteousness of Jesus, which only can be accomplished by the grace received through Christ. In other words, to fear God and to work righteousness are the two requirements. We do these and we are accepted by the Son of God Himself. That's the message. The good news was sent to all mankind through God's chosen people, Israel, and by God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Peter said here. God's message does not originate with any other people or nation but the nation of Israel. Doesn't come from Islam. The message of God doesn't come from Iraq, doesn't come from China, doesn't come from Turkey. It comes from Israel. God's message to the world does not originate with any other religious leader, only through Jesus Christ. Amen. You can have all the other religious leaders you want. You can have the big pot-bellied fellow that sits on the table if you want him, Buddha. But he does not represent the truth. Amen. Any other nation or religious leader who claims they have God's message for the world is false. God's message of good news is through Jesus Christ, and it is a message of peace. Hello? God does not call for His followers to preach hate, to preach killing, to preach violence. Not God's messengers, not the messengers of Jesus Christ, won't be strapping bombs to their bodies and killing hundreds of people. No, His message is a message of peace. Absolutely no one has more authority than Jesus Christ. God calls for His followers to preach peace, kindness, grace, love, forgiveness for all mankind. How many love your enemies? Pray for those that despitefully use you. Amen? That's the way we are to attain our lives. That's what Jesus did. Did you see Him hanging on the tree? What was the message to those that beat Him? What was the message to those that crucified Him? What was the message of those that scourged Him? When He hung on the tree, He looked down and said, "Father, give them what they get." No. "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." Those who do us wrong, those who do us bad, those who are treating us in a way that we do not like to be treated, what is our message back? It is a message of peace. It is a message of love, of kindness, and gentleness. That's Jesus Christ. God's message declares that His Son is Lord of all. All other messengers with the messages to the world are subject to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is Lord. Absolutely no one has more authority or power than Jesus, who is the Christ. Oh, Putin may have hundreds of thousands of soldiers over there and show himself strong, but guess who's greater? Jesus Christ. Amen. The American army and the American forces may be powerful and great, and we have mighty missiles, and we can do marvelous and wonderful things when it comes to fighting and war, but guess who is greater? Jesus Christ. None has the authority as He has authority. God's message originated on this earth, being preached throughout Judea, and began from Galilee after the time of the baptism with John the Baptist preached. Absolutely no other region on earth can claim that God's message of good news originated with them.
No other religious leader can claim that they were the forerunner of God's message but John the Baptist, who was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. How about that? Praise the Lord. John's message declared that Jesus of Nazareth was anointed with power by God and with the Holy Spirit. Remember that occasion in the Bible, John was baptizing in the Jordan River, and all of a sudden Jesus showed up on the banks, and when he did, the heavens opened, and a dove came down out of heaven and sat upon Jesus' head, and the voice of the Father spoke out of heaven saying, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a pronunciation and call to the message of God. God's messenger, Jesus Christ, delivered the good news, and he went about in the same region doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, and God was with him. He's the one who called Lazarus out of the tomb after he died. He's the one that stopped the funeral procession, and the son of an elderly mother was being carried to his grave, and Jesus walked up, got a hold of him, and he rose from the dead. Hallelujah! It was Jesus who went in to the little girl that had died, and they were weeping and mourning, and he got her by the hand, called her by name. She opened her eyes and woke up. Hallelujah! He's the one who has authority and power. There are many witnesses in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem who can testify of the messenger and his message. What is the substance now? I've talked about the messenger and what it means, and the message and what it means, but what is the substance of his message? This is it right here. Peter said to Cornelius that God's messenger was killed by hanging on a tree, the purpose of which was for man's redemption, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Somebody say praise the Lord. When you came up here this morning and you received the bread and you received the juice, you were remembering the death, the body of Christ that was broken. He was beaten and it was broken open, and the blood poured out of his wounds and ran down through his body until all of the blood and the fluids had run out of his body. Why did he do that? Why did he submit to that? That you and I might be saved from our sin. Are you glad?
Yes.
By the act of his death, Christ the messenger bore the sins of the entire human race in his own body, becoming the sacrifice, offering his own blood for the remission of your sins and my sins and all of the sins of the world. Somebody say praise the Lord. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit. And that's part of the message, that Jesus died for the sins of the human race. No other speaker, no other messenger has ever given a message that powerful and that great. That God's message was messenger was resurrected from the dead. That's part of his message. To give a hope to mankind. Oh, the Apostle Peter said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Not only did He die on the cross that we might be redeemed, He was buried, but on the third day, hallelujah, He got up out of the grave. He got up and came to life that He might conquer death, sin, hell, and the grave. Amen. That's the message. There's no other religion. There's no other religious leader that can preach a message like that. There is no other orator that can deliver a message like that. Amen. That the religious leader who founded us, who brought us into being as Christians, that He died for the human race, but He also rose again that we might live and have life evermore. Another part of the message is that the resurrected messenger of the good news has ascended into heaven and intercedes for mankind. I kind of like to know that I've got somebody I can talk to. Amen? When I'm having troubles, none of you ever hear me calling you up and say, "Oh, do you have a few moments? I got to unload." No, no, no. Who do I unload to? I go to the messenger. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. He's not dead. And on the, we went into a great big cathedral somewhere in our, well, all of the cathedrals. You go to any of them, any of the big cathedrals of the world, and they'll have their crosses sitting up. They'll have their crosses all over the place. And the one thing that's wrong with their crosses is that they still have Jesus on the cross. He's not there anymore. Look at that cross. You can't see it up behind there. But it's empty.
That's right.
Hallelujah. They took Him down. He was buried. He got up the third day. And He ascended into heaven. Wouldn't you like to have been standing there with the apostles? As the Bible says, a cloud gathered Him up. And He ascended up into heaven. And they watched Him. And He sits today on the right hand of the Father making intercession. That God's messenger, the fourth part of His message is that God's messenger has prepared an eternal place for His followers.
Hallelujah.
Not only is He listening to us today, when I have a heart full of trouble, I can go unload to Him and He hears and He intercedes for me. But oh, He's given me another hope, and this is a message the world needs to hear. You know, with all of the global warning, there's doom and gloom. We're going to fry one of these days. Or we're going to freeze to death one of these days. You know, we're producing so much carbon dioxide, it's making a big hole in the atmosphere, and the sun's rays are going to come down through, and it's going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. How many have been feeling hot the last 2-3 months? I went up by the Antietam Creek, and guess what? It froze completely over. Amen. And it's getting warmer. Did you know that? The earth's getting warmer. Well, let me tell you, I want to hear something that's better than that. If this old world does catch on fire, amen, guess where I'm going to be? Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. One of these days I'm going to move from 12011 Bear Drive. Amen. The Antichrist can have it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be sitting on the streets of glory. Hallelujah! Going to walk down Hallelujah Avenue next to Glory Boulevard, and there sitting on the corner is going to be a mansion with my name on it. You got one reserved? That's the hope. The world needs to hear a message of hope. This is God's message to the world. No one has ever delivered such a powerful message to the human race. Many speakers have offered what they think are marvelous speeches with the greatest of thought, but none come anywhere close to the message of Christ. God's message gives hope to a fallen people, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, morally good or filled with wickedness. The message of Christ reaches the far corners of the earth and gives hope to all. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hear the message of God. Hear His message of hope. And make it the words whereby you live your life. Closing out, Jesus said in Revelation 22, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him who hears say, Come. And let him who thirsts come. Whosoever desires, let him take the water of life freely." This message is for everybody. Amen? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who you've been, what you've done, where you've been. Doesn't matter. But God's message of truth gives you hope. I remember that 15-year-old boy in the detention center in Milford, Delaware. And I called the detention center up and I said, "We've got a group of people from our church and we'd like to come over and we'd like to play ball with your delinquents. We'd like to play volleyball with your delinquents. And then after we've played a game of volleyball with your delinquents, we'd like to sit them down at the table and deliver a message of hope, a message of truth. A message of well-being, a message of forgiveness." And I'll never forget, they were leery of us the first couple of times we went. But sitting there across the table after we had played volleyball and had a good time on the court, they sat down and across the table from me was this 15-year-old boy. He was in there under the sentence of death. He was going to the prison at Smyrna, Delaware, and they were going to execute him for murder and rape at 15 years of age. But I watched him bow his head after we delivered the message of truth, the message of forgiveness, the message of love, the message of God's kindness. Hallelujah. I watched him bow his head and accept Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. We became friends and I continued to visit him while he was there. And when they took him to Smyrna, Delaware, I took some farmer from my church and we went to Smyrna, walked down those long halls with the jails, with the doors clanging behind us, to the death row. Went into his cell and sat down and visited with him and shared God's goodness and God's love and God's grace. And the day came when they hung him and his life went limp. But he had a hope. He had an assurance. Jesus Christ, the message of Christ had been delivered to him. The message of hope had been given to him. The greatest message that anybody could give him. Oh, there were detention workers going in and counseling with him and telling him this and telling him that. You can do this and you can do that. But there was only one message that got him through. And that was the message of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, there's only one message. It's the greatest message in the world.
And that's the message of His good news to all mankind. Stand with me. If there's anybody here today, you haven't responded to the message of Christ's good news. You haven't responded to the message of His grace. I'm telling you, it's greater than any speech Abraham Lincoln ever gave. It's greater than any speech than George Washington ever gave. It's greater than any speech that John Fitzgerald Kennedy ever gave. No man has ever been able to stand and from his lips fall the words that mean so much to an entire world than the message of Jesus Christ's good news. If you haven't accepted that good news yet, right now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. Today is the day to find Christ. Today is the day to respond. Yes, Jesus, I believe You died for me on the Calvary. I believe, Lord, You were buried. And I believe that You rose from the dead again on the third day. And You ascended into heaven. And You're hearing my prayer right now. And I'm asking You, forgive me, wash me, and cleanse me from any hatred, from any bitterness. Cleanse me from any sin in my life. Wash me clean, Jesus, through the blood that You shed for me, that when You come again, I'll be ready to go. That's His message. If you haven't responded, respond right now. Lord, thank You for Your loving gift to me, giving me a message of hope and a message of forgiveness. I love You, Jesus, with all of my heart. Hallelujah. He is Lord. He is Lord. He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Is He your Lord? Turn to somebody and say, I accept His message.